Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, as we seem to have been doing the last few weeks, we're talking again about doing God's will. It is so critical. It is so crucial. You can't drift into doing God's will. It has to be a clear decision of heart and mind. And today we read from Paul to Timothy. We're celebrating Saints Timothy and Titus, who were among the trustworthy ones who ministered to the Gentiles with Paul. And so they're very close to him. And he wrote them a number of letters. And we're going to read, first of all, from Paul's letter to Timothy. He says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. I yearn to see you again, recalling your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. As I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and that I am confident lives also in you. For this reason, because you're so dear to me, I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands." He's talking about the sacrament of confirmation. Stir into flame. That's one of the things we need to do. The sacraments are there. The graces are there. We've received them, but we have free will. We're called to activate them, put them to work. And that's why Paul says here, "I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony to our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake. But bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." Even as I'm reading this, I'm thinking that there are sacraments of baptism and the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist. But he's speaking here in a certain way of taking all the gifts that he bestowed on him, both as his son, his brother, and one who was going to minister with him. So I'm not going to take the time to go into all the details of that, but I want to say to you is, do you pray, "God, stir into a flame. Please help me to stoke the fire, get it moving again, that you gave me in baptism and confirmation"? Those graces are all there, brothers and sisters. But we need to exercise our will and say to the Lord, read the catechism, read what you were given in baptism. You became a son or daughter of God in baptism. You were given faith in baptism. Original sin was destroyed in you through baptism. You know what the Eucharist gives you. You know what the sacrament of reconciliation gives you. And the sacrament of confirmation bestows upon you the gifts to become a disciple, a real disciple. And that's what you see happening here with them. Psalm 96 tells us, "Proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations." To all the nations. Start with your little neighborhood, please. Start with your family. Start with your neighborhood. Sometimes family's the hardest. But start locally. Offer your service in your parish. Ask the Lord, use me to bring people to a knowledge of the truth, of who they are, and of to whom they belong, and where they're going. Give me grace to share that message with others. If you're a disciple, if you're a son or a daughter of God, you're called to be his disciple, and a disciple doesn't just sit around. A disciple does the bidding of the master. And what does the master say? "Go out into all the world and preach the good news." Of course he said it to the first apostles. Of course they have a particular role, but all of us have a call to go out into the world and speak the good news, spread the good news, announce the good news. But if you don't have it going on in your own life, you can't give it away. You don't have to be perfect at it. You just have to be open to the grace of God. Then he puts you to work. The gospel for today is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 9. The Lord Jesus appointed 72 other disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few." Isn't that the circumstances today? Although sometimes we don't believe there's an abundant harvest waiting for us, so we don't do anything. We've become passive. That's deadly. Lord, I am your disciple. I am your son. I am your daughter. Use me for the glory of the Father. Teach me. Instruct me. Make sure you have a daily prayer life. Make sure you're trying to learn. Open your heart to do God's will, and he will use you. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. He's very honest. People will want to mock you, ridicule you. I don't mean you stand up in a bar and start preaching. You don't put yourself in that kind of position unless it's clearly of God. But even in personal conversations, people could ridicule you or people could talk about you behind your back and you find out about it. It's a mild form, but it is being sent among the wolves. That's going to happen. But if you keep drawing closer to Christ, you're going to have the strength like you've not known before. Harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. In other words, don't depend. He's not saying don't take provision. Maybe he was at that time, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is don't rely on the gifts or the abilities or the access or the money or whatever you have. You can use it, but don't rely on it. What you rely on is your relationship with God. What you rely on is your willingness to do his will. What you rely on is putting your faith in him. That's what you rely on. And the Lord is saying to them, don't depend on these things. You can use those things, but don't depend on them. There's a difference. Greet no one along the way. In other words, don't get sidetracked into doing something else, and how easy that is to happen. Into whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. In other words, you won't lose it. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his pay. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? But in that is teaching, it's healing, it's ministering to people, it's helping to bring reconciliation where there's argument and turmoil. It's trying to bring peace sometimes into unpeaceful situations. And it's not that you can change everything, at least certainly not at the beginning. But step by step and bit by bit, if you keep ministering, if they allow you and you keep ministering, you will win hearts for Jesus Christ. But we've got to be ready for the pushback. We've got to be ready even for the anger. Now, if somebody says, I don't want you to come here again and I don't want you to bring up the name of Jesus again here, fine. Don't use the name of God to argue over. But by golly, brothers and sisters, you start to pray for whoever said that to you. Lord, soften their hearts. Lord, change them. Lord, use me in any way you want to accomplish that. And if it's simply by prayer and you see fruit in a year, you'll know that your prayer had a part in that. Don't give up. Don't get angry when people get angry with you. It's not you they're angry with. They just don't want to be reminded of their lives. They don't want to think about God because they're ashamed or embarrassed or they feel defeated in some way. Or they feel like they can never be forgiven of their sin because they live under that lie. So when you get anger from people, don't react to it. You can distance yourself, you can be quiet, don't push buttons. But don't react to the anger by getting angry yourself. You only make the wound in that person worse. It'll bring peace. And if the peace is accepted, Jesus says, stay there. If it's not accepted, leave. Go to another place. I can tell you story after story of lives that have been changed because somebody, even in the midst of their anger or their woundedness or their addiction or whatever was wrong, when that person, some person, came back to them continually, always being kind, always bringing good news, always seeking to help, always offering to pray. And after a while, it wore down the other person, wore down their shield and their defense, their bitterness or their hatred or their anger, or whatever they use to keep everybody away from them. I've seen it wear down until they were able to accept that the person really did care about them, that the person really did have a message. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. It's not easy. But oh my goodness, what God offers us. Stay in the same house, eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his pay. Do not move about from one house to another. Now, he's talking about a particular kind of ministry. You know, make your home in one place and help to evangelize those people, and then from that base, reach out. Just don't be hopping around all over the place, what he's saying. And he's speaking to them in a particular situation that might not be our particular situation, but the essence of it, the heart of it, holds true. Bring peace, care for people, help to bring the gospel. Don't get angry in their presence. If there are people sick, offer to pray with them for healing. In other words, bring the good news. Bring kindness by thought, by word, by action. And it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. You look at Paul. Paul's someone who was a murderer. Paul was terrible. And God changed his life because God knew his heart, that way down in there was a kernel of goodness. And God capitalized on that. And Paul responded. So you and I can't turn away and say, oh, this person will never turn to Christ. Pray for them. Pray for them. Do good to them. And watch how God will use you. Ask St. Paul. Ask Timothy and Titus to pray for you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net. And then click on free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.